are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, June the 28th, and the free agency bell tolls on Sunday. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we're going to run down the news, as it were, not a whole lot going on yet before the explosion of news that we expect at the end of this weekend. Also, some Tiger stuff over the weekend, so check it out at DetroitNews.com. Got the 84 celebration on Saturday. A lot of my articles for AP and also the Detroit News, so check those out this weekend. Today we're going to be talking about the backup bigs and wing options for the Pistons as free agency opens on Sunday. I'll give my recommendations for those. And just a reminder that, like I said, they've moved up free agency from July 1st to June 30th to have it kind of an evening primetime show type of thing. So that'll be 6 o'clock. Follow that on ESPN. I think they've got like a five-hour show or something that I'll be tuning into. And then we'll drop a podcast. We'll put it up late night, too, in case you want to check it out at, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning or something like that. Late night Sunday, but certainly ready for you on Monday morning when that comes out, too. So look forward to that. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But for the latest takes on NBA free agency, you can follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on just one Twitter feed. So easy, one touch there. The channel is called Locked On NBA Net. I should say the handle is Locked On NBA Net. An awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during the NBA free agency, which is coming up fast and furious. Fun time of year. Locked On NBA Net. But today, like I said, one of those days, not much news out there about the Pistons or the NBA. Had a good time at the Tom Kowalski, Killer Kowalski fundraiser last night at Fifth Avenue. Stopped by there for a little while. Saw some of my media friends and bought some drinks for the cause, because that's the kind of humanitarian I am. But everybody's getting ready for the weekend in the NBA. Sounds like Kemba Walker is leaving for Charlotte, according to the reports from Woj on Thursday. So it sounds like they're kind of far apart. He's not getting the Supermax offer that he was hoping for with Charlotte. Probably a wise move for the Hornets to tear it all down. So he's probably going to Boston as kind of the front runner right now. I don't know. We'll see how he ages. 29 years old already. Not in love with giving long-term big money to guys who rely so much on their athleticism. His quick burst is one of the main reasons why he is who he is. Plus, you know, I'm always rooting for Boston's moves to not work. So it's been a delightful offseason for me so far. And we'll see how that big money offer goes. And then the trade yesterday where the Lakers found a willing partner in the Washington Wizards to take on their end of the roster guys, including Mo Wagner of the University of Michigan, gave out some picks so that they could clear some space for another max slot. Rob Pelinka is vindicated. Everyone likes to crap on the Lakers when they get a chance, crap on Rob Pelinka when they get a chance. He deserves some of it for last summer, but they cleared out the max slot, and we'll see what the Lakers are able to do with that this free agency period. Maybe Kyrie Irving is back possibly in the mix after being all but assured before this to be heading to Brooklyn. So we'll see how that all plays out. But Mo Wagner off to the Washington Wizards. By the way, a lot of vitriol towards Washington that I saw on the Twitters. And, why are you hoping the Lakers? And it's just, to me, and I'm not as much of a Lakers hater as a lot of you guys have covered that on the show in the past. But, man, the Wizards got to do what they got to do to help their team. And taking a shot on Mo Wagner and getting Bonga in there as well is a good move. And I think they should not be ridiculed for that. They're in the separate conference anyway. They're not a team that's going to be in the NBA Finals against Anthony Davis and the Lakers this year. So more power to the Wizards. Not hating from them on this corner. But some Pistons news. This news broke this morning by your boy Matt, a Shook Bomb. Don't get a lot of those, but I do have some sources out there. Johnny Hamilton, the former Pistons farmhand, I guess we can call him, the Grand Rapids Drive, played with the Pistons in Summer League last year, really impressed me. He's going to be playing in Summer League with the Milwaukee Bucks, so check that out. With them, good luck to Johnny from Trinidad. Did a story about him for the Trinidad Guardian. So, Johnny Hamilton off to the Summer League with the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll see if he sticks somewhere with at least a G League team, possibly maybe even a two-way. I doubt that that's in his future, but a raw big man from Trinidad. Played at Texas Arlington in addition to Virginia Tech and Jacksonville College as well, so he's now making the rounds in the NBA free agency market, I guess, in Summer League world too. But other news today, Zach Lowe is reporting ESPN.com that we might have a coaching challenges, one per game coming to the league next season. Hard eye roll from me. I've covered it before. I actually don't like replays in any sport. I think they've kind of proven to definitely slow games down and not really fix the mistakes in front of them. But from Zach Lowe's article, coach, and I quote, coaches will get one challenge per game and they will lose it even if the challenge is successful. According to the memo, they can use it to challenge only called fouls, goaltending, basket interference, and plays when the ball is knocked out of bounds, the memo says. The league has tested this version of the challenge system in the G League over the last two seasons. So that's that. It'll slow games down and give more reasons for fans to complain unnecessarily, mostly about their coaches and all good stuff. So slowing down sports, man, baseball. I've been to a lot of baseball games lately. Talk about a sport that's been talking about its pace of play issues for like 20 years and not really done a single thing at the major league level about it. Hard to watch for me. But maybe that's just the millennial in me talking. But we're going to talk free agency up next. Going to give the free agent centers list and talk about them a little bit. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we'll talk about the wings available in free agency for the Pistons. But when you're driving to work or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. And we'll be there, right there with you for the drive. You need me in your front seat, as you always hoped that that would happen. But I want to recap, reset where the Pistons are at right now. As I see it, there's about 11 guys on the roster, give or take, with Bruce and Kyrie and Sfi. You got Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, Tony Snell, Luke Kennard, Sekou Doumbouya, Thon Maker, and Langston Galloway making up that 11. Right now, that's assuming that Glenn Robinson's option is not picked up. I believe that has not been ironclad reported yet. The Pistons will have till Saturday to decide on that. And as of right now, I don't have Davidas Servetus on the 15-man roster, although I have a hunch that he probably ends up taking that 15th spot. Leaving three positions, 12, 13, and 14 on the roster right now. But the Pistons don't have to fill up to 15. That's the maximum slot. They've reportedly offered and signed two-way deals with Jordan Bone and Lewis King. Lewis King, an undrafted free agent from Oregon. Jordan Bone, a point guard, picked 57th in the draft. So missing some big guys. That's what the theme is, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But with those three possible slots, I could really see Pistons in free agency picking up a point guard, picking up a backup big, and then picking up possibly one more wing, unless they believe in some of these young guys to take care of some of those minutes. And maybe those answers will be given to them in summer league, possibly, if they see how some of these guys, like I'm speaking specifically about Davidas Servetus and Sekou Doumbouya there, and maybe the continued development of guys like Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas and Sfi Mikhailiuk, and see if they look like they're ready for big minutes, maybe there's no need to add another wing to this team right now. So the Pistons, over the salary cap, but can still add players to the team. Under the luxury tax, that's the dance that they're going to do all season long, staying under the luxury tax, but going right up against it probably. And because the Pistons are a non-taxpayer team, they have the right to use the mid-level exception every year. And this year, that amount is $9.3 million, rounding off there, give or take. Those are very specific numbers that are about $9.3 million. You can use that on more than one player. You can have a contract under the mid-level exception for up to 4 years. So the Pistons can go out and offer about a $40 million contract when the raises are thrown into that $9.3 million as it escalates. And then in addition to that, the Pistons also have the biannual exemption because they weren't able to use it last summer. So that is about $3.6 million. You can have a two-year contract on the biannual exception. And, you know, in my opinion, as we talked about yesterday, and a lot of people's opinions, the backup point guard situation is the most pressing need for this team as we speak, because Reggie Jackson has the injury history. You don't want to be playing him 35 minutes a game or anything like that. So you're going to have a backup point guard that's going to have a big role on this team, assuming that Jordan Bone can't step into that role immediately, which I presuming he cannot as a rookie who kind of struggled with his feel at Tennessee at times, although, you know, an athletic player, a guy who has a lot of the tools that you'd want an NBA point guard, but probably not ready to be a meaningful contributor in any way in his rookie season. That's be quite a stretch there. So when we're looking at what the Pistons have available, I would say that my recommendation would be to use most of that, if not all of that, mid-level exception on a backup point guard type, whether that's the one of those veterans like Darren Collison, or maybe an upside type of pick like Tyus Jones in restricted free agency or something like that. I recommended that they give the bag to Patrick Beverley and have him summarily turn it down, because he's probably going to get better offers from better teams out there, or maybe his hometown of Chicago. So I'd expect Pat Beverley to turn him down, but still I'd make that phone call. And then I'd reach out to a guy like Seth Curry, who I know is not a pure point guard in any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like with the ball handling possibilities of guys like Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown and possibly even Savi Mykhailiuk, we'll see about that down the road, but that there would be options of backup and alternate ball handlers to use along with guys like Seth Curry to back up Reggie Jackson, kind of a point guard by committee type of thing. Short of that, there's guys, like I said, Tyus Jones, or possibly even bringing back Ish Smith. But anyway, talking about centers today, if the Pistons, so we're going to kind of break this up into three tiers like we did yesterday. If the Pistons are interested in throwing most of, if not all of, the full mid-level exception at a center, which again is something I do not recommend because I think they should do that at backup point guard, the one name that kind of stands out there is Dewayne Dedmon, and maybe even he couldn't be had at this amount of money, but he's a guy that's added a three-point shot to his game. Atlanta Hawks was with the Spurs before that, was kind of a project that's kind of come into his own, and he's been a little bit of a Pistons killer in games against the Pistons, and I just really like him. Like I said, he's probably not going to settle for the role and money that the Pistons would have available, but he's kind of the dream scenario for centers. But let's talk more about the mid-range guys right now, guys who would cost somewhere between, you know, a third to two-thirds maybe of that $9.3 million per season of the mid-level exception. So kind of cutting it in half and saying maybe we can get these guys. And, this is kind of a guess for me. Maybe some of these guys rise up to more of predominant, more than half of the mid-level exception. And maybe some of the market dries up on some of these guys, which it could. I think if the Pistons are patient on backup center, then maybe one of these guys will fall to them at maybe just the biannual exception, or possibly even something lower and even like closer to a minimum contract. So like they'd had for Zaza Pachulia last year. And like we know, for veterans, minimum contract is higher. It's something like 2.7 or something like that per year, but it only costs you against the salary cap and towards the luxury line of a minimum contract of like a rookie. So it's something that the Players Association set up to take care of their older members, that guys of a certain amount of service time, it only counts to your cap towards what a minimum contract for what a rookie would cost, even though they're actually getting more money. So those types of guys, and this first one maybe is closer to the Dewayne Dedmon in terms of a guy that will get more than the biannual exemption, you'd probably have to crack into that mid-level, at least in a fairly significant way. That's Willie Cauley-Stein, a guy who's been linked to the Pistons in the past in terms of a reported possible trade for Andre Drummond that Tom Gores might have turned down. But Sacramento Kings, you know, close to an elite defensive player in terms of protecting the rim, but really not much else, kind of a disappointing development with his career out west. Taj Gibson's 34. He was with the Minnesota Timberwolves last year, played for Tom Thibodeau up there before he was fired, and also, you know, longtime member of the Chicago Bulls, beloved there. I know that they have belief that they could possibly bring him back. But just a role player, got into the skirmish with Andre Drummond last year. Everyone's got a little history with Andre Drummond. But Taj Gibson would be a nice veteran piece for the Pistons too. Robin Lopez, speaking of the Bulls, is out there, Brooks' brother. A player that I really like, and someone that would be a nice fit here in Detroit. He's actually the player that I would recommend that the Pistons go after in terms of offer the biannual exception on day one of free agency. See if he takes that. I'm sure he'll probably want to test the market and try to get more than 3.6 per year. But Robin Lopez is a guy who can shoot it a little bit from outside. Hasn't really extended to three-point land in a significant way. But a pretty good center, good role player, good locker room guy as well. Robin Lopez would be a nice piece for the Pistons. Some other guys, Enes Kanter, kind of all offense, no defense. Shined a little bit for the Portland Trailblazers in the first part of the playoffs, but then struggled down the stretch there, especially against teams like the Golden State Warriors, where he doesn't really have a role. Just can't really play the D. JaVale McGee, Flint guy, bounced around, was with the Lakers a lot of last year. I liked him when he came to Little Caesars Arena, played pretty well in some mop-up minutes for the Lakers there. Athletic guy, the sky's the limit for him, but he's never really fulfilled that potential. Has some lapses of hilarious play out there, shacked in a fool, Hall of Famer, but certainly a useful guy off the bench, and it would be nice to bring him back to his home. In Michigan, Ed Davis is a guy that NBA or Pistons Twitter talks about a lot for dubious reasons at times, but, classic, turned himself into a veteran, stayed around in the league, rebounds really well, can't really do all that much else, but Ed Davis will be out there too. Thomas Bryant is a restricted upside play free agent that was kind of had a nice career year in Washington last year to build himself up into a legitimate NBA player. I believe started quite a bit for them as well. Rashawn Holmes is a guy who played in Phoenix who a lot of people like around the league, especially media-wise, potential there. And then Boban is out there as an unrestricted free agent. His four-year deal with the Pistons has suddenly come to an end. Excruciatingly come to an end if you're Stan Van Gundy, but played with the Clippers and was traded along with Tobias Harris twice, this time to the Philadelphia 76ers. We had some moments in the playoffs, so good for him. And a possible reunion could be afoot for the Pistons and Boban, although it's not really something I'm all that interested in. Now, the third tier are more of the, pretty much minimum salary type of guys, guys that might be able to be had at pretty much the bottom of the barrel if the Pistons want to go cheap on backup free agents. Now, let's start with a guy who's a former first-team All-NBA guy, and that's Joakim Noah. Kind of rehabilitated his value a little bit with Memphis last year. Don't know if he's going to be quite a minimum salary guy, but if he likes the situation that he finds out there in free agency, maybe he could be had because he's made a lot of money in his career, and certainly not the player, nearly the player that he was in his heyday. But the last three guys on this list are all former Pistons that could be reunion type of players: Anthony Tolliver, Eric Moreland, and Amir Johnson. So three guys who could be returning to the Pistons. Boban on that list too as well. But Anthony Tolliver could be coming in for his third tour of duty with the Pistons. Didn't really play much in Minnesota last year, but we know about his propensity to hit three-point shots. We know about his locker room character type of guy. And, Anthony Tolliver is a personal favorite of this show as well. Eric Moreland, NBA champion Eric Moreland with the Raptors, hasn't really progressed in his game, but could be had as a body that knows the team, knows the characters, knows the locker room, and knows the city. So could be a comfortable fit there. And Amir Johnson turned himself into a veteran as well. Former second-round pick straight out of high school for the Pistons. Was a big prospect back in the day, never really fulfilled his promise, but lost some weight coming into this past season for Philly and turned himself into a productive player off the bench for the 76ers and a kind of a personal favorite of mine as well. So, like I said, go get Robin Lopez with the biannual exception. Call Dwayne Dedmon and offer the mid-level exception. He'll turn you down probably just like Pat Beverly will. But do feel the waters. Do shoot for the sky on those guys. If Robin Lopez turns you down with the biannual exception, maybe squeeze some of the mid-level to him instead. Split that with possibly Seth Curry. And if you can squeeze both those guys in for $9.3 million, I don't suspect that would be enough. But see what you can do. Get creative. And if you have to go bargain shopping, my recommendation would be to go get, I'm doing this off the top of my head, I hadn't really decided on one of these guys, but how about Amir Johnson? Amir Johnson, bring him back to Detroit on a minimum deal. I would keep guys like Rashawn Holmes and JaVale McGee higher on my list than Amir Johnson, but if it had to be a minimum salary, I would offer it to Amir Johnson. But like I said, we'll put this list at this. Go Dwayne Dedmon, number one, with the idea that he's probably not taking your money anyway. Robin Lopez, number two. We'll go JaVale McGee, number three. Rashawn Holmes, number four. Ed Davis, number five. And then we'll go Amir Johnson, number six. And then we'll put Anthony Tolliver on there as a courtesy to him at number seven. That's my list of free agent bigs that are out there. And go get it. Ed Stefanski, do your job. So up next, we're going to be talking about the wings, bargain shopping on the wing for the Detroit Pistons. That's coming up here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and like I said, look for the episode late night, Sunday night, early Monday morning, as we're going to do kind of the free agency reactions from night one of what should be a crazy Sunday night in the NBA. Tune into that one. We'll have that for you, like I said, late night, Sunday night, early Monday morning, and we'll, and certainly for those of you who get up Monday morning, it'll be waiting for you in the iTunes feeds and wherever else you get your podcast. But another center that I didn't mention that I wanted to throw in there was Kem Birch. I want to throw him in the list of guys I'd be interested in for the Pistons. Played in Orlando last year, really good energy. He's kind of okay there. But now talking about the wings, moving on, kind of the full mid-level exception or close type of guys that, again, not what I would recommend the Pistons to do, but certainly maybe there's some guys on this list that you would consider. Like, it's not like maybe this Ed Stefanski in the war room says, not necessarily that we're going to dedicate this amount to point guard and this amount to wing and this amount to center. Sometimes it's all about value and say, hey, if we can get this guy, let's give him close to the full mid-level exception or the whole mid-level exception. Like I said, with Pat Beverly, you don't know necessarily what you're going to get. So, you know, maybe if we take the three positions and break them down in the war room and say, this guy, even though we might not prioritize a wing at this point as our biggest need, if we were able to land this guy, his value is high enough to where we would feel comfortable giving the most of the full level exception or most of the mid-level exception to do that. So it's not necessarily that they're going to make a priority and make a list, but they might say, you know, it's a little bit fluid in terms of how much, what players you can get. So two guys on the wing list, although I said, like I said, I don't think this should be the number one priority. If you're able to land Rodney Hood at a reasonable value and maybe not even take up the whole mid-level exception, maybe that might be something the Pistons could consider. You know that I liked him from the playoffs and even before that as a guy who can fill it up for Portland and Cleveland before that too, and Utah before that, where he scored a lot of points for the Utah Jazz over the years. Another one that's maybe not quite at that tier as a guy that you feel really good about giving a lot of the mid-level exception to, but that's Reggie Bullock. A friend of the program, friend of the team, but Reggie, you know, they got their bird rights over in L.A. right now, so it seems likely that he probably ends up back with the Lakers. But even though things didn't really go well for him, but the Lakers are desperate for bodies at this point, we're going to take advantage of any kind of salary loopholes that they have, and the bird rights is one of that. So I would expect Reggie to be back in L.A., but, you know, a reunion with him with the Pistons wouldn't be such a bad thing as well. Moving down to the next tier, I think that these are guys that if they happen to slip through the cracks in free agency, if they and their agents don't play it as well and teams aren't interested in them, then maybe the Pistons can swoop on them if they turn into bargain basement guys at some point, maybe just biannual exception guys or possibly even lower than that. And in that group, I'm going to put, you know, guys that are good and probably won't be Pistons this summer unless you value them higher than I do. But we'll say five guys in that list, and that's Trevor Ariza, Al Farouk Aminu, Jabari Parker, Kelly Oubre, who is restricted, and also Bobby Portis, who's restricted. Bobby Portis is kind of that weird mix of some kinds of more of a big than a wing, certainly. He probably should be in more in the big discussion from earlier. But a guy I've always liked, by the way, who's a little bit tougher. And yes, his contract demands are high. He probably believes he's a better player than he is. But a tough dude. He did break Mirotic's face, which is something that we'd probably like here in Detroit. Maybe not punching the teammates, but we've seen that in the past a little bit. But yeah, so that's the group of five there. Of that group, I would say that I like Al Farouk Aminu a little bit better than the others, even though he didn't have a very good playoffs with Portland there. Bobby Portis, again, kind of a tough to put him in a box, but a guy I like as well. Moving on to the next phase, these are guys that are maybe biannual exceptions maximum. Or, again, maybe they fall through the cracks and you're possibly able to land them for even cheaper basement bargain kind of guys. A lot of guys out there, maybe not a lot of money in terms of what people need for their end of their roster type of wings. So in that list, we got David Nwaba, a defensive-minded, more of a shooting guard. Size isn't really helpful for the Pistons. But Stanley Johnson, old friend, will be out there as an unrestricted free agent. A guy I kind of like in Luke Mbah-a-Mute, coming off an injury, so maybe the suitors won't be there as much as they were last year. Was with the Clippers and with the Rockets for a while. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, noted Pistons killer with Brooklyn. He's out there unrestricted. Would love to land him on a cheap contract. Thabo Sefolosha, getting older, role player in every sense of the word, classic role player. Jeff Green can fill it up, has potential, but ultimately disappoints everywhere he goes. Wilson Chandler is from Benton Harbor, so be nice to get the Michigan native back here. James Ennis, old friend, available too as well. And then I've got a former final tier of three guys who would certainly be minimum level contracts that could be useful for the Pistons at the end of the bench or end of the rotation possibly if Sekou Doumbouya is not ready. And that's kind of what this would be, by the way. I'm kind of back and forth in my mind about whether the Pistons even need another wing on this roster right now, but maybe Doumbouya or Doumbouya, how he does in summer league might kind of dictate what you feel as a need for some of these guys. And it might be nice to bring him in for training camp and a non-roster invite. But Darius Miller of New Orleans is a 3-and-D type that has been hanging around for a while. Wesley Johnson's a defensive player that could be available. And also, how about it, Carmelo Anthony? He's out there. No, they probably shouldn't bring him in, but what the heck, might be kind of fun to finally get Carmelo Anthony after passing up on him in the 2003 draft. Who do I want out of these guys? Man, like I said, kind of like Al-Farouq Aminu and Bobby Portis, if they're available for cheap, which I don't see happening. But of that next group, which I think is the most realistic and where the Pistons should kind of focus their energy in terms of free agency, I like Luke Mbah-Mute, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Wilson Chandler as players that I would like to see on the Pistons at a kind of a minimum salary type of deal. Luke Mbah-Mute, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Wilson Chandler. Those agents probably believe that they can get more than that, but that's why you kind of maybe wait it out and see how the numbers work out. In terms of how I think the Pistons approach this, I think that they should go after their point guard targets first, and then centers after that, and then wings after that in terms of the calendar, how I think that they will agree to terms with some of these guys. So if you're expecting the Pistons to make that move on Sunday night, I would expect it to be a backcourt type of player or possibly one of those bigs. I think that the wing is the one that might come later, especially because, like I said, you might want to see how summer league goes a little bit. You might want to see who falls through the cracks in terms of the league-wide type of stuff as well. And that's kind of what I see happening. So what are your thoughts? Send me some thoughts this weekend before free agency kicks off at 6 o'clock on Sunday. I'm excited for it. I hope you guys are too. We'll have plenty of coverage next week leading up to summer league, which is, I believe, starting on Friday for the Pistons in Vegas, taking on the Croatian national team, 3 o'clock afternoon game there. Doesn't help with the podcast schedule that it's going to be over that 4th of July weird weekend that we're not going to get a lot of listens. But, oh well, we'll do some episodes. It might not be as regular as you want if you're a Locked On Pistons and Summer League junkie. But we'll do what we can. And, best Pistons fan, biggest Pistons fan in the world contest, that's coming up too. Look for that email. And, so this is Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons podcast, saying enjoy the opening of free agency. We'll be back to you late Sunday night, early Monday morning with a look at how things are going around the league and with your Detroit Pistons. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.